live from New York City, it's the Gary Noel Show. And now, your host, Gary Noel.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noel, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. We're all about health and healing, harmonizing, positive energy, and finding reliable solutions to the many problems we each face with. Today, it's no guest, no in-depth investigative reporting. That'll be tomorrow. It's all about what's on your mind. This is the Talk Back program. I do 15 hours of live programming every single week, and 1 hour is devoted just to health and nutrition or issues that you find important. It's your opportunity to call in at 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888, and share with us your concerns. I'll go to those calls in about 15 minutes. I'm going to be sharing some real new insights about a nutrient. My nutrient of the day is pycnogenol, P-Y-C-N-O-G-N-E-N-O-L, pycnogenol. It has a lot of good properties. It can help with the anti-aging process. And I'll be quoting from the latest information from Janet Sardo, researcher, Life Extension. Also today, curcumin. There's a lot of good going on. I'll even show you the best on that. I've had a lot of questions about PQQ. Does it really do what some people claim? Yes and no. I'll give you the reasons why I believe it should be added to our anti-aging nutrient schedule. A lot of American women, up to 20% of all U.S. women, were uninsured last year. That was up 5% from the year before. What can people do, insured or not, to help prevent disease? Some really easy things all of us can do. Be careful about those personal care products. I'll tell you why. Because they are increasing risks of diabetes in women based upon what's in the products. You've heard of placebo. Well, now we have what is called nocebo effect. No, not placebo effect, induced illness. And I'll talk about that. What's the important thing in your brain is called gray matter. And the more you have, the more altruistic that you are. So we have a lot to share. Let's begin. First up, at this time of year, you should all be getting all the vitamin D that you require, about a half hour a day with about one-third of your body exposed. Now, if you can't do that, then simply take it in a supplement, anywhere from 1 to 5,000 units a day. Here's the latest reason why. From the peer-reviewed journal Stroke, vitamin D reduces your risk of a stroke. And even if you've had a stroke, it reduced the risk of a second stroke. There was a study, and the study looked at 7,385 Japanese-American men between 45 and 68, and they enrolled in the Honolulu Heart Program, and they found that over a 34-year follow-up period, which is a long period to look at people, stroke was documented, and they found that the lowest group of men to have stroke were the people who had the most vitamin D. It was inversely related. So if you had very little vitamin D, more stroke. Lots of vitamin D, less stroke. So get your vitamin D. I've spoken and written about curcumin, the active ingredient in turmeric, which is primarily used in spices such as curry. A major study has shown that it can manifest in helping limit the negative outcomes of colorectal cancer. So if you have someone that you know who has colorectal cancer, as a part of their overall protocol, see that they take, I would say, 5 to 7,000 milligrams. Now, separately from the Journal of Nutritional Biochemistry, research done at Oregon State University shows that curcumin improves overall immune function. Dr. Adrian Gombart and colleagues discovered that cumin, had a 300% increased expression of a gene that encodes a protein known as cathelicidin, antimicrobial peptide, or CAMP, which can help combat bacteria and viruses and fungi that have not previously encountered the immune system. So quite simply, when you're taking curcumin, you're enhancing that part of your immune system in a measurable way, and that can help protect you against different viruses and bacteria. So that's good news. Probiotics help create more good bacteria in your body. And we start these good bacteria in our gut, but they migrate. Probiotics help prevent a lot of antibiotic-associated diarrhea as well. Now, a lot of people have diarrhea on a regular basis. And people on different medications have diarrhea all the time. Here's from the Journal of the American Medical Association. It found, after looking at a meta-analysis of 82 randomized clinical trials on human beings, that those receiving antibiotics compared to those receiving probiotics to no treatment, a placebo or different probiotic doses, they looked at all the results of 11,812 participants, and they found this. Probiotics were associated with a 42% lower risk of developing diarrhea as a result of antibiotics use compared to non-consumption. So that's good news. So if you have diarrhea, use probiotics. Because if you use antibiotics, it's just going to kill off all the bacteria, and then you're going to end up with negative bacteria or bad bacteria, and that's only going to further exacerbate your diarrhea. So 1 to 3 teaspoons of probiotic a day helps keep diarrhea away. Also, the latest study from Dr. DeVore of Harvard Medical School and her associates in the Nurses Health Study, as published in the Annals of Neurology. Now, why do I, every time I mention a study, I always give you the peer review journal, the university or hospital associated with, and people involved? Because all the time it happens that people think that when we are talking about berries or wheatgrass or spirulina or vitamin C, oh, there's no real proof that it does anything. Yes, virtually all the scientific studies show proof that these nutrients work. Now, how many do we have? I have over 600,000 studies. You heard me right. 600,000, over 500,000 studies on the healing power, the benefits, the dosage, the chemistry of just vitamins and minerals. On diets, we have over 300 studies on the Mediterranean diet, which is a very healthy diet. So, and yet you will still run into this opposition, this closed-mindedness, this bias of people say, well, diet couldn't mean that, because they never see diet or supplements suggested on television as a way of helping anyone. But you do see drugs all the time. Now, this is the latest on this. It says the following. This is from the Annals of Neurology. Consuming berries can delay brain aging for up to 2.5 years with a small amount of berries. Cognitive function was tested every 2 years in 16,000 participants. And what they found was, quote, high amounts of blueberries or strawberries was associated with a slower decline in cognitive function test scores over the follow-up period compared to women whose intake was lower, resulting in a delay of cognitive aging of 2.5 years. Now, let me put this into a little different perspective. They're using a small amount of blueberries and a small amount of strawberries. They're not using organic. Hence, the body has to contend with a lot of pesticides that are in strawberries. It's one of the most sprayed fruits in nature. But think of those individuals in this audience who consume double that each day in blueberries and strawberries, plus have at least 5 to 20 other fruits. And what do these fruits contain? What do strawberries and blueberries contain? Polyphenols, antioxidants, high levels of ORAC, or beneficial nutrients. Now, that alone means that had they increased the variety of fruits, like acai, goji berry, mangosteen, wolfberry, amethrut, they could have had even greater benefit. And what if they focused upon grapeseed extract or one of the nutrients that are common in grapes, resveratrol? So then that 2.5 years could have easily been 10 years. Hence, a person that would start to develop a cognitive impairment generally in their late 40s, early 50s, now would be able to live a much healthier life, and their brain would be functioning fully and normally. Now let's say that you added in nutrients, not just the actual functional foods, the fruits, but you also added in important other elements like vitamins, such as glycerophosphocholine, phosphatidylserine. Then you could have added another 10 years. So what this means is that very easily you could end up with delaying cognitive function, delaying memory loss by almost 20 years. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen in the science text because they look at something very specific. They're not using a whole lot of things, but you have and you are, and that's good for you. Next up, I just mentioned resveratrol. Now, the American Journal of Cardiology looked at the results of an important study, and it was focusing specifically upon what happens in reducing the risks of heart attacks and heart disease, factors that kill men and women, taking statin drugs. And I'll quote this. Spanish researchers divided 75 participants who were at high risk of cardiovascular disease to receive a grape extract containing 8 milligrams of resveratrol, a grape supplement without resveratrol, or a placebo daily for 6 months, followed by a 6-month period during which the doses of the treatments were doubled. The pro-inflammatory cytokine interleukin-6 increased, and the anti-inflammatory molecular interleukin-10 decreased by the end of the study in the placebo group, meaning it got worse, but they were taking a placebo. But no changes were observed among those who received the grapeseed extract without resveratrol. Subjects who received resveratrol experienced a 26% decrease in C-reactive protein, as well as 19% decrease in tumor necrosis factor by the end of the 12 months, indicating a significant decrease in inflammation. Now, for those of you in this audience, if you have any of the compounding red powders or green powders, go to the kitchen now. I want to show you the power. And on whatever particular brand of compounding powder you have, a green powder, red powder, look at the label and look at how much resveratrol you're getting. Do it now. Take a second. All right? Just take a second. I'm going to come back on this. Next up, celery and parsley compound may treat breast cancer. This is important. And I'll read this. It says the following. This was done at the Dalton Cardiovascular Research Center. And also this was done at the University of Missouri. Our quote, a recent study performed at the University of Missouri showed that apigenin, a natural substance found in celery and parsley, may be a non-toxic treatment for aggressive form of human breast cancer. And then it talked about how Dr. Salman Heidler, at the Salk Endowed Professor of Tumor and Angiogenesis and Professor of Biomedical Sciences, College of Veterinary Medicine and Dalton Cardiovascular Research Center, did their work, says apigenin slowed the progression of human breast cancer cells and then went through inducing cell death, inhibiting cell proliferation, and reducing expression of the gene associated with cancer growth. And it was non-toxic. Quote, this is the first study to show that apigenin, A-P-I, apigenin, G-E-N-I-N, which can be extracted from celery and parsley, is effective against human breast cancer cells that have been influenced by a certain chemical used in hormone replacement therapy, end quote. So there you have it. Very, very important study. Oh, but what do you want to bet that not a single oncologist, not a single doctor in America will be telling you to take your celery juice with parsley in it tomorrow? What do you want to bet? I'll bet anything. That's how I know the flaws and the arrogance, the conceit of the medical community and their stupidity of looking at a paradigm that is so antiquated, so out of date, so out of touch, so grossly flawed, as well as the scientific paradigm. By the way, I've written a really strong commentary on the gods of science. If they're the gods of science, I'm going to challenge them, because I'm challenging their entire scientific model this week. I've written 5 commentaries. I'll be reporting them this week. Because they're wrong. Just about everything they do. And I'm going to get into it in depth. But now, who was telling you to drink celery juice with parsley in it? Well, how about we go back to California back in the 1950s? Bernard Jensen, one of the most honorable and decent and loving and brilliant natural healing doctors in America. I went out to visit him. Pulled up one day and had a nice little rolling place, and there were about, I guess, 20 people there all the time where he was treating them. And he had them all on juice, and I'm watching as they're juicing away, celery and parsley and apple. And then I was watching Dr. Walker, a renowned homeopath, who would drink 3 glasses of celery, parsley, apple and cucumber juice each day. Dr. Pavle Arola, the last great naturopath. There's never been a naturopath like him. He also did the same. Dr. Benjamin Frank, who Dr. Martin Feldman took over his practice. In fact, Frank was asking me about who he thought would be good, and I said, you better get someone who is ultra, ultra orthodox, ultra, ultra conservative, and then challenge them. And challenge them in such a way that they have to go outside of the comfort of their orthodoxy in order to understand the work you've done with DNA and RNA and ribonucleic acid and anti-aging. And he did. And Martin Feldman fit the bill. Ultra, ultra conservative, ultra, ultra orthodox, magna cum laude, Yale College, college physicians and surgeons, top of the class, Columbia University, board certified neurologist, qualified psychiatry, 63 articles in peer-reviewed journals, and yet made a radical shift based upon the earlier findings that could not be explained in the orthodox model, and therefore seeing the limitations of that orthodox model. So we've had a lot of pioneers using vegetable juice. One of the best cancer doctors was Dr. Max Gerson. And Gerson had his patients using upwards of 13 to 15 glasses of vegetable juice a day, and including celery and parsley and apple, plus flaxseed oil, and high potassium, got great results. I can't support the Gerson anti-cancer program today, but when he was alive, he was right up in the same class as as the Durovic brothers with Krebiosin and with Revisi, with his antibiotic catabolic therapies. Now, let's see. You've had a chance to look at your label, and they're saying in this study, published in the American Journal of Cardiology, that they had a 26% reduction in C-reactive protein. Now, C-reactive protein is a inflammatory agent in the body that when it's increased, it increases your risk. It is a predictor of heart disease, stroke, and cancer. So when your C-reactive protein is high, your risk of dying is high, even if you're as skinny as a model. And people never test this. And you should. It's inexpensive, easy. Wouldn't you want to know that you're at risk by something that may have nothing to do with your weight or how you feel? Every single person I work with must get this done, because this is the hidden, you can't feel it, you don't know that it's elevated, and probably not 1 in 100 doctors ever test for it. So they're saying 8 milligrams, I repeat, 8 milligrams in a placebo-controlled study. How many milligrams you taken? Well, let's see. The one that I took this morning had 150 milligrams. Gee whiz. How many times does 8 divide into 150? Would that mean that if I were to extend that by their sense of logic, that I would have no elevation in my C-reactive protein? Just want to let you know, you're way ahead of the curve out there. And finally, testosterone is linked to weight loss in obese men, which is most men who are overweight. Let me quote this. Researchers in Berlin reported a new study that testosterone replacement may promote weight loss in obese older men who have low levels of the hormone. The purpose of the study was to discover improved ways that obese people could lose weight. And this was published in Current Diabetes Research. And they found that it worked. So you can stimulate natural estrogen, testosterone, with certain herbs and nutrients. And we have all that up there. It's free to look at and take your time on my website. Now, I also mentioned that some people have asked me about PQQ. Does it do everything that is claimed? No, it does not. It is not a miracle nutrient, but it does help, and the science is there to back it up, that it does enhance mitochondrial energy production. Now, we know that coenzyme Q10, or ubiquinone, is universally recognized in supporting cellular performance throughout the body. And we also know that PQQ has been shown to support mitochondrial biogenesis, which means the spontaneous generation of new mitochondria in aging cells. And PQQ is an energy source for to create new energy within the cell. And therefore, it's going to expand the existing energy and hence improve overall health. Now, until recently, the only natural ways of helping yourself with your mitochondria, especially long-term, was to restrict calories. We know that when you go on a caloric-restricted diet, when you're eating lots of salads and nuts and seeds and beans and grains and tubers and legumes, those are low-calorie. When you eat concentrated calories, let's say from cheese or meat, yes, high calories in meat. How's that possible? People are on high-protein diets. The high-protein diets, of which is the most popular diet in American history, cause people to lose weight. Yes and no. Let me show you the math. Many people easily eat a 16-ounce steak. Half of that steak is going to be fat. The other half of the steak is meat. The meat has the protein. Now, when you burn a calorie from protein, you're yielding 4 calories. When you burn, a small amount, a gram of fat, you're yielding 8 calories. Now, how many ounces are in a pound? Luann Panessi's here in the studio, and we're going to turn on her mic. Come on, Luann, sit up to the mic.
Here.
Okay, how many ounces in a pound? 16 ounces in a pound. Good. If we divide half the steak as meat and the other half fat, how many grams of protein are we giving a person?
8.
Oh, Jesus, Luann. Turn off her mic.
It's
go back
trick.
To sleep.
It's a trick question.
It's
say
not
it
a
again.
Trick question.
Say it again.
Luann, listen. How many grams of protein are in a 1-pound steak?
I don't know.
Sure you do. All right, you got a pen in front of you? Let me show you how easy it is. All right, I want everyone at home to do this too. Especially those people who think that you're going to live a longer life eating meat, you're living a shorter life. And for those of you who are on the Weston Price diet, in my opinion, the most dangerous diet, the stupid diet, the unscientific diet, and I would never advocate anyone eat that diet. That's, in my opinion, that is a suicide diet. In any case, but let me just give you, and I have a whole major scientific paper coming out on that in the next week, and I'll post it. Now, let's say that you have 16 ounces. Cut the 16 ounces in half. Now you have 8 ounces, right? How many grams to an ounce? Don't go on Jeopardy, Lou.
I do not go on Jeopardy. My mother knows more about Jeopardy than I do.
All right. 28.35. Let's round it off.
Everybody knows that, right?
Yes. All right. 20 grams of an ounce. All right. So now, then multiply 28 times 8. 28 times 8, right? Okay. How many grams protein now are you consuming in one single dish in one day?
244.
244. How many grams of protein do you require in a day?
Oh, geez. Not that. How am I doing?
That was a good way.
Couldn't someone just call in and ask a question? Quick, someone call in. Ask about hemorrhoids, anything. Get him off this subject of math at this late at night on Sunday.
All right. 9/10 of a gram per kilogram of body weight per day. So let's just make it real simple. Let's say if you're a woman and you're about 115 to 25 pounds, you need about 40 grams of protein a day. If you're a man, let's say you're 6 feet, you weigh about 180 pounds, you need about 65 grams protein a day. Now, you will need more if you're pregnant, nursing, if you're doing a lot of work with your body. Athletes will need more if you're burning a lot of this. Now, if you need 40 grams of protein a day for the whole day, how many grams of protein did you just get in one meal?
With 244.
And what is 244 as a percentage of 40? Oh, come on, you can do this. Come on. Come on, you had math. All right.
It's a lot. It's an awful lot. Wait. In other words, the point of the game here, folks, is that when you have a meat-based diet like this, you're getting way more protein than the body actually needs. Go ahead, Gary. Pick it up from there.
All right. You're getting over 600% more protein than what your body can handle.
That's just what I was going to say.
All right. Now, when you have that much protein, the body can't store protein. There's no mechanism. None. So, the body has to break it down. And if you went into a restaurant and you said, I want my daily requirement of protein. All right, I'm 6'2". I weigh 188 pounds. I have 2.3% body fat. You did the measurement last time on the impedance machine recently. And if they brought me the amount of... I'm a vegan, but if I eat meat... How much meat would they have to bring me to support my needs?
A very, very little piece.
A half a fork. In other words, not even a full fork. One bite. One single small bite. Could you imagine an American man going in and sitting down and someone brings him a tiny little piece of meat and he goes, what's that? That's your protein requirements. No, I want a steak. Well, I'm only giving you what your body needs. And then they say, but I'm going to pay the money. I want the steak. Okay, here's what you're getting. First, you're getting 700 times more protein with just this one meal than what your body can handle. Then the liver's going to be creating toxic reactions. The liver has to then break down the toxic metabolites in this. You've got growth-stimulating hormones in the meat. You have antibiotics in the meat. You have pesticides in the meat. The meat is also dead. And this is even important for some of our Jewish listeners, and we have many. When you think that you have turned an animal upside down and drained the blood out, or you've soaked it in salt water, if you want to be really thoroughly convinced you've done something, you've only taken about 10% of the blood out of the animal. The rest is locked in the cell. At the moment cortisol shoots up through the ceiling, when the moment dies, the same would be true for you. That means that when an animal dies, you're only taking the blood that's in the arteries and the veins out. The rest is locked forever in the cell. Now, as a nurse and as a person with a background in Chinese medicine and a degree in Chinese medicine, what happens when blood no longer is oxygenated in the body?
Well, it's dead. It rots and decomposes.
And what
it decays.
It goes through a morbid process. A pathologically bad process of becoming highly contaminated bacteria multiplies. That's how you end up taking a drop of blood, putting it in a petri dish, and watch it over a period of 4 days as it incubates. Now, let's say that you look at this meal, and you've just eaten a regular average American steak, right? What happens to the kidneys?
The kidneys are going to be very stressed.
The tubules, the nephron cells, they have to decompose the what two elements in meat in the protein breakdown that are so toxic to the body?
Nitrogen?
No.
No. Oh.
What else? Ammonia.
Ammonia, that's right.
Yes.
Urea.
And urea.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you get as a buildup in the cells when you have meat? Uric acid. And is that anabolic or catabolic?
Totally catabolic.
And is that acidic or is it non-acidic?
Very, very acidic.
And what happens when the cell is in a highly acidic state?
Inflammation.
Gross inflammation where?
Throughout the tissues, especially in the kidneys.
But your eyes, your brain.
Gout, that's how we get gout.
That's right.
The uric acid builds up.
And the purines build up.
See, now I'm redeeming myself from the math.
Okay, you're getting part of it back now. So now, let's just look at this. So someone thinks they're smart, and someone has an agenda, and a whole group of people are on this cult diet, and they get you believing that if you take in the meat, you're going to lose weight and feel great, because we were meant to eat meat and dairy and eggs. Where's the fiber in meat?
None.
None. And what is one of the fastest cancer fastest growing types of cancer in the world today?
Colon.
Colon rectal cancer. And part of that is due to pro-inflammatory toxemia in the gut, and that's exactly what meat does. Now, would you eat a piece of meat that had been out in the sun on the sidewalk for 3 days?
No.
How would you know? You see, when we're eating meat that's at 98 degrees, 97 degrees, that's our intestine. And it's in there for 3 days. So when you have putrefying morbid matter without fiber, and you cooked it, you've created heterocyclic amines, a powerful pro-carcinogen and pro-inflammatory. Now it's in the intestine, but there's fat with it. And fat sends a signal to the gallbladder, and the gallbladder then starts to issue bile at a different level, and your whole intestinal peristalsis slows down. So now every time you eat meat, every time you have an egg, every time you have cheese, every time you have milk, your whole digestive process slows down.
Not only that, a lot of times when people are eating diets like this, they're not well hydrated in general, or they're having caffeine, or they're having alcohol, and that dehydration encourages gallstones.
Well, what's also the most common condiment used with meat?
Well, the different steak sauces and things like
sodium.
That. Yeah.
That's where people put the salt.
That's right.
And they put salt in high levels of salt. Look at the package of a hot dog, a hamburger. Look at how much salt people on a steak. But they can also put sodium nitrate on a steak. And sodium nitrate mixes with amines and causes nitrosamines, one of the most powerful cancer-causing agents, in the stomach. And it also causes a severe imbalance in hydrochloric acid in the stomach. Now, most people do not masticate and chew their food properly. The stomach does not have teeth. So when you eat this piece of meat, it's in the stomach, only partially digested, creating hyperacidity. So what do? We then take an antacid. Now that whole process gets dumped into the intestine through the duodenum, and then the nutrients that should be absorbed through the duodenum are not able to be, and then you have a congestion, a slowing down, and then you have the pathogenesis of disease, constipation. Constipation is epidemic in the country. We also have non-alcoholic fatty liver. 40% of the entire adult population have a non-alcoholic fatty liver, and it can kill you. Where did suddenly we get all this fat in our liver? Meat. And it has one of the worst types of fats, arachidonic acid. Whereas when you're eating grains, you're getting a completely different acid. For example, when I eat flax, I'm getting the omega-3 DHA anti-inflammatory. They're eating meat, they're getting the pro-arachidonic acids.
And that includes chicken and turkey also. A lot of times people hear meat and they just think of beef.
That's all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So now you see that when you reduce your caloric intake, how many calories do you have? I'll show you how easy it is. Take the number 240, right? Multiply times 4. 240 times 4 is the total amount of calories just from protein in the meal.
920.
That's just from the protein, but we have fat in that meal, right? And you have twice as many calories in the utilization of a gram of fat as you do protein, so now double that.
1840.
No, that you would have to double it again. You have to do it again.
Double what again?
The caloric intake. Remember, if you've got 900 calories, and we'll round up, 900 calories from your protein,
mm-hmm.
and if you have the same percentage, same grams of fat, then you have to go to 8 calories, which will give you 1,600 or 17, almost 1,800 calories. So you're at 2,600 calories in a single steak.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But no one looks at it that way, do they? So you're literally killing someone when you eat that kind of protein, and that's just a normal size. Then you get these people on television eating these super meals, and then you wonder why we're a nation that's obese. Heart disease, cancers, arthritis, pro-inflammatory disease, dementia, Alzheimer's, macular degeneration, diabetes, and exhausted livers, kidneys that are malfunctioning, fatty liver, livers that are not metabolizing, gallbladders that are completely worn out.
Malfunctioning colons.
And we're filled with toxic blood that has high bacterial count when you eat it because you can't sterilize the blood in meat. So now you wonder why we are so sick and our immune systems are shot. So the next time someone advocates a meat-based diet, no matter how they spin it, just let them know that though you have freedom of choice to be as stupid as you choose to be in life and believe in as many different cults as you choose to, it's your right. Remember, you also have the right to be smarter than what you frequently act. Unless you want a disease, walk away. I'm Gary Nall, back in a moment. I'm Gary Nall, and now we're going to open up our calls for you to share your points of view, your comments, your insights. Happy to hear from you. 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. Lou Ann Panessi just dropped by. She's in the studio, and she's writing a new article on ozone, and as a result, she was coming in and using the reference library here that we have, our scholars' papers, and because there's a lot of misinformation out there on ozone. I have a documentary right now that's out on ozone. And I wanted to give the latest information for free as a public service to put the article up on the website, which we'll do as soon as she finishes. But people who have questions about ozone Please feel free to call Luann, because she's a trusted person who can give you some qualified insights. And we'll talk with her in a little bit about that. Just to finish off on PQQ, you don't need much of it. I would say 10 milligrams three times a day, unless you're an athlete. And if you're an athlete, let's say you're doing marathons, or you're doing more than 6 miles of training a day, and then I would say, or maybe you're doing an hour spinning class, then I would suggest 10 milligrams three times a day, or 30 milligrams. Keeping in mind, PQQ is also a very powerful antioxidant, and it has extraordinary molecular stability that allows it to facilitate thousands of biochemical reactions in the mitochondria without breaking down. Now, in that sense, it is bioenergetic support for your body, much like alpha-lipoic acid, the R fraction, is unique and very, very good. I would also say that it modulates your gene expression. Now, there's nothing that modulates gene expression better than a positive thought. The more positive you are, the more dynamic the energy behind that positive thought. You want to know one of the joys of my life growing up is I was a member of the Baptist church, my family was, and there were two Baptist churches. There was mine uptown, and down on Clay Street there was an African-American Baptist church. And because my best friend, Tony Bartlett, was African-American, which did not go over well in my hometown, I can assure you, I would go down there. And what a difference in the two churches. Mine, it was a solemn, you know, sermon, and everybody leaves, and down there they were just rocking, singing, and I had the greatest fun. But I felt the energy, and I've always loved being around people who have energy, who are willing to open up and just exonerate all the passion they have towards something that's powerful and beautiful, life. There's no inhibition in how anyone who is open and positive shares the energy. Do you ever notice how people filled with love never are inhibited about sharing it? They come over to you, give you a hug, give you a kiss, you know, pat you on the back, smile. And then you see people from a lot of other places and cultures and traditions, they're very reserved about how they express themselves. I come from one of those unreserved backgrounds. Any of you heard my Woodstock lecture last night? You saw an example of that. No, I believe that you let it rock. Right? You just let it rock. Don't think about the consequences. Because you're coming from love, you're coming from a good place, you're going to resonate with people. And I believe we all want to be liberated from the social conditioning so we can just bounce. And that's at a nutritional level. That's what the PPQ does. Because PPQ activates genes that promote formation of new mitochondria and beneficially interact with genes directly involved in the mitochondrial health. And these same genes also support your body weight and normal fat and sugar metabolism and youthful cellular proliferation. But also, mitochondria possess their own DNA distinct from the DNA contained in the nucleus. Unfortunately, compared to the nuclear DNA, mitochondrial DNA is relatively unprotected. So PPQ's antioxidant potency and favorable gene expression profile act to support in mitochondrial defense. It's also an essential nutrient, meaning your body cannot make it on its own. And I just believe it will help your heart cell function, your brain function, help you prevent memory loss. It's not a miracle nutrient, but it sure is a good one. I'm Gary Nall, and we're going to say hello to our audience now at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Let's say hello to Flory from Miami. Hi, Flory.
Hi, Gary. How are you? You really made me laugh about the meat. My brother eats like 40 ounces of steak every time we go to a restaurant.
Do you have to wheel him out on a stretcher?
I'm telling you. And what I wanted to call about is I have been taking your red stuff, the green stuff, and the green and grains for a while now. And for the first time in 6 years, I noticed that I'm growing my dark brown hair again, not to mention my nails, how fast they are growing. So when I went to the hairdresser this past Wednesday, after only 3 weeks before I did my color before the retreat, he was shocked to see how fast it grew, and that was dark. After my chemo and radiation, for 6 years, I grew 100% white hair.
Hold on. Talk into the telephone. We're having trouble hearing you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes. So you had chemo for 6 years?
No, I had chemo and radiation 6 years ago, and but it's a storm here. That's why.
And your hair turned white?
Completely white, 100% for 6 years. After taking the green, red, and green and green, and I don't know which one of the three is doing it, for the first time last Sunday when I look at the mirror, I'm like, what the heck is going on that I have dark hair? I don't like it because now I have to do my roots every 3 weeks opposed to 6 weeks. My hairdresser on Wednesday was shocked to see it. So my friend from Germany, who is buying the product herself now, that's just one thing that I wanted to mention. Another thing that I also hear you saying always is to take vitamin C. I take 10,000 milligrams a day, and I give to my 9-year-old 5,000, and it has been years since we have been sick. We just don't get sick. We don't catch anything, never. And you also mentioned the diarrhea. My mom with Alzheimer's is in tons of meds, which will never do a thing. And she always complains of nausea and diarrhea. The only thing I do to help is that I add a lot of good stuff to her meds. And sarcastically enough, I have to prepare her meds for her. So I will introduce the probiotics to see if that helps a little bit. So really, thank you for the show. And I can't wait to hear the show tomorrow about the solar flares.
Okay, well, I'll be doing it tomorrow. Thank you. And listen to what you just said, Flory, and see if you see a contradiction. Let's see if I understood you correctly. You had chemotherapy, I'm assuming for cancer, or, you know, leukemia, former blood cancer. And every hair on your head was pure white and was remaining that way, as it would. And then you started changing your diet and supplements, and your hair now is turning back to its natural, original, darker color. So now your concern is that you have to add more dye to your hair to cover up the natural color. Flora, I would think that you would, A, rejoice that you don't have to dye your hair anymore. Let it grow out. And if you need to cut your hair short so that you're down to natural hair, do so. Because, A, that's healthier for the hair. And, B, you shouldn't be dyeing your hair. All right? Because a lot of these dyes are very toxic, even some that say they're not. But I'm glad to see that you're getting your nails growing and your hair to its natural color. Good for you. Glad to hear that. Paula from Florida. Hi, Paula.
Hello.
Hi, Paula.
Hi, how you doing, Gary?
You got to speak directly into the telephone. Was everyone taking a shower with the telephone on the outside of the shower?
I was drying my hair, and yes, I'm in the bathroom. Well,
that's great, Paula. People listen to me in the bathroom. No one else they listen to in the bathroom. Me, they go to the toilet when they listen to the show.
It was that discussion about all the grams, and I just wonder if Luann knows how many grams in a troy ounce. Anyhow, I have a question about solar paint. You have spoken a number
Luann just fainted. Like a fainting goat, she's frothing now. Go ahead, what's your question?
A number of months ago, you had spoken about solar paint to paint on a building. Do you have any additional follow-up information on that?
I have an article up on my website, yes.
Oh, you do? Super.
Yes.
Thank you. And Dave and I are interested in it.
Yeah, and don't forget, tomorrow evening, 8 o'clock, 7
okay.
o'clock is Progressive Commentary Hour, powerful show I got lined up, but 8
okay.
o'clock,
listen all time.
I'm going to have 1 hour or longer, because I'm not limited what comes behind that,
okay.
on surviving a solar storm, okay?
Very good, and hopefully we will see you in November when we're heading down your way again.
Excellent. Have a nice day.
You too. Take care, Gary.
Bye. I'm Gary Knoll. Let's go into, and thank you for your calls, but I want to spend some time with Luann on a topic she's doing a major article on. Luann Panessi, for you who are not familiar with her, has, and Luann does not work for me, so people are clear, some people are confused about that. She was a very orthodox nurse nurse administrator at Long Island Jewish Hospital, where she had anywhere from 85 to over 100 people that she supervised. She was a oncological nurse, meaning a cancer nurse. She also did critical care and emergency care. And after 18 years, she came to a lecture with her boyfriend, and she was both put off and at the same time confused by the lecture that was given, my lecture. And then, instead of just walking away, she decided to challenge it to see whether or not any of this stuff I was talking about was true. Well, that led to her going through 3 years of intensive investigation, including spending day after day in the evenings and on the weekends at the Tri-State Healing Center. And for 5 years, it was the number one alternative complementary healing center in the world. If any of you who remember that, it was one of the most joyful, positive, upbeat places where more healing went on. Our whole medical staff and people had a great, great time there. And I'd be in there. I'd go down, open it up at 7 o'clock, and I'd close it up at night. And I'd frequently come in the daytime, speak with the different patients, because I was creating the protocols. And the people with AIDS got their treatments at night, and it was always packed. And at 11 or midnight, she'd still be there. So after 3 years of doing her homework to find out this stuff wasn't what she was told, you know, you Google something, oh, this is all nonsense, quackery, no proof. And yet she's working with board-certified physicians and nurse practitioners and holistic dentists and all these other people who were highly skilled, the best of the best, and showing all these patients getting better. Could all this be wrong? Could the quackbusters be right? Well, no, they're idiots. They were wrong. And she did her homework, something the average person doesn't do, and she found out how much healing goes on. And then she shifted. She went into Oriental medicine, got her degree, and then went on to become a holistic nurse. That's just background because we have a lot of new people listening for the first time every day. Thousands and thousands and thousands every single day. So that's who Lou Anne Panessi is, and you can speak to her if you choose. Lou Anne, tell us the latest on ozone. What does it do? What does it not do based upon the latest high-quality scientific evidence?
Well, most people think of, we understand oxygen in general. We think oxygen, and most of us who have had any background in science, even in junior high, know that oxygen is O2. It's two atoms of oxygen together. Ozone is O3. And when you hear the word ozone, many people think that whether they think of the industrial ozone, like when they say it's very high temperature today and very dangerous ozone. So ozone in the public's eye has been seen as something negative. So first and foremost, I want to clarify that ozone produced from the air is toxic because of the nitrogen oxides, nitrites, nitric acid, sulfur dioxides, and other compounds that get formed. That type of ozone is dangerous and poisonous. The medical ozone that's used in medicine, and by the way, Germany has the lowest post-op infection rate in the world because traditionally, after all their surgeries, they give people ozone. And ozone, medical ozone, is produced by passing medical oxygen, the stuff in the can, the green canisters that you often see people in wheelchairs or in the hospitals. Medical oxygen is passed through high voltage tubes. In other words, it's electrified. No different than when there's a thunderstorm and there's lightning. It passes voltage through the ambient oxygen in the air. And when that volatile oxygen, that O3, hits fluid like water, it turns into peroxide. Now, most of us know peroxide as that brown bottle peroxide, and it's 3% peroxide. You pour it on a cut, and you get all those little bubbles. Those bubbles happen. Those are oxygen bubbles. When that singlet atom of oxygen splits off and attaches itself to something like a pathogen, like a virus, like a cancer cell, it neutralizes it and kills it. So that kind of ozone we've been using every day for a long time. So the kind of medical ozone that has been used, and I became fascinated with when I came to the Tri-State Healing Center. I had never, ever heard of taking a pure gas and injecting it into someone's vein. See, because I'm thinking pulmonary embolism.
Yeah.
But the embolus is actually formed from nitrogen. So if you took air and pulled it into a syringe and put it into the vein, you would have a pulmonary embolus. That's why we're so careful with our IV lines to make sure we don't have any air bubbles in there, because those might contain nitrogen. So when we actually give pure ozone, medical ozone, which is this highly charged oxygen, and we put it into the body, amazingly, it destroys pathogens. It does a lot more than that, though. But imagine one of the most difficult things in my career as an adult medical nurse was healing bed sores, for instance, or people with burns. And we put all kinds of topical stuff on, Duoderm and all kinds of things like that, and very rarely, if ever, do they actually heal. Well, they had a study done where when you inject ozone, the ozone will actually accelerate the healing. Natural killer cells are increased. It increased the healing of these burns, which are one of the most painful things is dealing with burns. So the question immediately coming to most people's minds are, so why aren't we using ozone all the time? Well, because there's no money in it. It's inexpensive. And our entire industry in healthcare, it's a business. And boy, that was one of the first bricks in the back of the head for me when I came to your lecture, realizing that our medical industry is in fact a corporation and they do what perpetuates their business. So we also, by the way, ozonate gasoline. We ozonate water. We're actually starting to ozonate water now in the United States. Well, if it's killing pathogens, viruses, cancer cells, and fungus, yeast, Candida, if it kills bacteria and viruses in regular water, why aren't we using it on people? It just makes sense, especially if it's so safe.
Now, and there are over 5,000 studies on its efficacy and its chemistry. It's used routinely in Germany, in Italy, in Russia, and other countries. But there has been a bias against it in the United States, and yet it does more than any other antibiotic I know. If someone has gangrene, if someone has septicemia, someone has a sera bacteria, I'm going to suggest it immediately to them.
Even with diseases like HIV, but the whole syndrome that happens when people are diagnosed with HIV, there's usually other viruses involved. And it's absolutely amazing. That was one of the most impressive things. When I looked at the actual paperwork, the clinical studies, the cases of all the people that came to the Tri-State Healing Center and they seroconverted, suddenly they didn't have all those viruses. They didn't have all of the pathogens.
It wasn't suddenly. It was about 16 months, 5 to 6 days a week.
Yeah, but Gary, I'm used to seeing people coming into the hospital year after year after year with chronic infections and autoimmune illnesses, and none of the things that we gave them, the drugs, the IV therapies, nothing helped them. And yet, people coming, 16 months is a smidgen of time when you're talking about a chronic illness.
Well, good. Okay, that's a little bit from her article from Luann Panessi. Luann, if people want more information on ozone, can you talk with them? No?
Of course I can. They can call me at my home office. That number is 631-504-6198. That's 631-504-6198. Or you can email me at whnn@aol.com.
Luann Panessi, thank you. I'm Gary Knoll. That's all the time we have. I thank you all for listening.